Blog Talk Radio.
Mills, like his fan Facebook page, his fan page. Oh, get tongue tied when I say that. At the Mars Mills Experience. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you again for joining me, joining Cut the Shark Entertainment Report. This is the first 6 p.m. live broadcast of Cut the Shark Entertainment Reports on a Sunday. You know, love to broadcast on Sundays, but usually it's early part from early in the morning to maybe 4 o'clock. So this is the first 6 o'clock prime time show on a Sunday. So I welcome you, and this is a big evening also. The Steelers at the Colts, only on NBC Sports tonight. So aren't we excited? Wow, wow, wow. So thank you. The number is 714-409-0614. And I had a blast last night, those of you that had a chance to chill with me during the weekend edition of Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports. More music and less talk, but the talk was very good, huh? Yeah, there's some more talk going on, too, huh? What are your predictions for the game tonight? Wow. Ooh, I love both teams. I used to visit Indianapolis often in the 90s, but I love both teams, the Steelers and the Colts. I'm going to predict, believe it or not, because I'm always in the middle, right? The Steelers. even though I have nothing bad to say about Indianapolis, I'm looking forward to seeing what's up with the team, and I believe the team is all ready, but I will predict the Steelers will be the victors in this game. You know, so that's my prediction. What's yours? 714-409-0614. Here's LB Sure. He changed his profile pics earlier today, showing off those guns. Looking good, my friend. whatever I want. Yes. Yes. Love that song. Hey, what's up, American Idol bus? Stopped in the beautiful state of Mississippi, in Clarksdale, Mississippi, to be exact, earlier today. So I hope you all enjoyed Mississippi. Yay! What's up, Ryan C. Chris and everyone? Oh, the American Idol. Can't wait for the next season. Yay, here's America the Beautiful.
And all done in God's name.
Beautiful. UK's imprint. I love that. America the Beautiful. And you all can check more of her tunes out at ReverbNation.com. Just search imprint. And there's more songs. You know, right before the 4th of July, that song just jumped out at me. Just amazing. And I mentioned American Idol. Thursday, I received the debut single from the X Factor winner. It's her new album debuting, being released on Tuesday. But look for it. I will be playing it real soon. And also, you know, Anita Baker has a remake of a Tyrese song called Lately. Many of you probably have been hearing it on your local radio stations. And her new album is dropping in October. Reg Roughneck is on the line, and he will be joining us in a few minutes. And, you know, it's still my birthday month, and there is somebody's birthday today, too, so happy birthday. So here's the birthday song.
OneHappyBirthday.com.
So check out OneHappyBirthday.com. My actual birthday was last weekend, which many of you know, and I thank you. And I posted a video yesterday of the amazing staff at Walmart here in the metropolitan area of Jackson Ridge, Mississippi, across from North Park, who baked my delicious yummy cake. And it's gone bye-bye, but like I said before, I need to burn some calories and burn some of that cake went to my thighs, and I need to really work it off. Oh my God. Today happens my late grandmother. Today is my late grandmother's birthday. My grandmother passed away on Valentine's Day, like in, I was in kindergarten, I remember. It was like 75. So my grandmother, I loved my grandmother. She loved me dearly, too. My grandmother was the one that noticed I could sing as a baby. I know, I never aspired to be a singer. But my grandmama and my mama, they found out I could sing when I was a little baby. But today is my grandmama's birthday, so happy birthday to the memory of my grandmama. Exactly. May she continue to rest in peace, she and my granddad. So, yeah, Hetty White, some of you know her as Mady White, lived on George Street in Georgetown. So just sending my grandma much love into the heavens. Special birthday to her. And I know all of a sudden I get giddy, I guess, with the song, but really, you all can check out their website because you can get songs customized, personalized for yourself or for your loved ones, not just birthday songs. I know I run across, and my friends run across, some of the craziest, unique ideas there are. And before going any farther, I want to share this poem that one of my Facebook friends shared with me, one of my BFFs, and another friend of my attorney slash friend, crazy comedian friend, Jay Lucas in Dallas. And this is from Tammy Denny, and she shared this awesome poem just like an hour ago. There is never an easy way to love. You cannot approach it cautiously. It will not wait for you to arm yourself. It does not care if you turn away. It is everywhere. It is everything. Love is the greatest of all risk. It is not reliable. It is not cautious. It is not sympathetic. It is unprejudiced and unmerciful. It strikes the strongest of minds and brings them to their knees in one blow. Even in the best of times, love hurts. It hurts to need. It hurts to belong. It hurts to be the other part of someone else without either of your consent. But from the moment it overtakes you, it hurts worse to be alone. The risk of love never depletes. It grows stronger and more dangerous with time, but it is in the total surrender of all defense that we, no matter weak or strong, no matter willing or captive, no matter what, we truly experience love. Despite the many things love is not, outweighing it all are the things that love is. Love is surrender without a loss. It is a gift without the cost. It consumes your every thought and desire, every breath you take. It is the fire that fuels you to do more than pass through life. It urges you instead to live. No matter the outcome, having felt love, you will never be the same. It may scar your heart and soul and leave you only memories of forever, or it may cause every day of your life to live, to feel like there is no need for tomorrow. That is deep. But love is worth it. It is worth the risk. But in all of life, love is truly the only risk worth taking. Oh, my God. I mean, you all know I can cry over almost anything. I have thick skin, but I express my way through tears, happy, sad, or glad. And this is such a touching, loving, caring, romantic poem. And I don't know who the author is. Tammy says she's not the author, but I said beautiful. Is that an original composed by you? If not, I love it anyway. Awesome. And she said it is not. It speaks my sentiments. And I replied, mine too. About to help me crying. And isn't that awesome, though? I love that. So, wow. I know. It's just amazing. But we're going to talk sports and a little bit more entertainment news. I mentioned, if you listened to the show last night, I mentioned to you all that T.O. Mamas, baby mamas, want money. Since he has a new job now, they want their back pay and their child support. So, I don't know. We need to find out Reg Roughneck's prediction also in regards to tonight's game. So here's Prince, the Master Mix by Martin Smith, Prince MPG Master Mix, and this is SoundCloud. So after this and PSA, we're going to talk to Reg Roughneck about sports and other amazing things and whatever is on his mind also. Okay? Well, thank you.
Sexy mother.
For American Lung Association.
This is Janice Nolan with the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impacts of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place, far away from where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in, or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impact, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000, the equivalent of a small city.
Wow. Particle pollution is not a joke, is it? So it's important to live green. Now, we get a better understanding of that, don't we? Wow.
Hi, I'm Julie Bowen, asking you to walk with me in March for Babies. Too many children in our country are being born prematurely or with birth defects. They have to fight to survive every day, but you can make a difference. Your steps in March for Babies can help them take their first steps. Visit marchforbabies.org to start your team and raise money to ensure that babies are born healthy. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hola, soy Thalía. Muchos de ustedes me conocen como actriz, cantante, artista, pero mi papel más importante es el de ser mamá. March of Dimes me ayudó con excelente información durante mi embarazo. Mi bebé nació sana y a término, como debe ser para todos los bebés. Por eso apoyo a March of Dimes y su caminata anual, La Marcha por los Bebés. Únase y participe en La Marcha por los Bebés. Visite nacersano.org.
Important messages from March of Dimes. And it's time to talk to Ridge Roughneck, and also what's up to those of you that are in the chat room. We're talking sports already also in the chat room. We're going for the Steelers. I'm not alone with my prediction for the Steelers. Hey! You know, oh, my God, flat line. Oh, my God. Also, a special message from my dear friend, my longtime friend, Otha Kane. Otha Kane has been doing, I know he works in the media, but then also he's been a guest on a lot of media media shows today, a lot of talk shows today, in regards to a planning meeting that is scheduled for tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Hinds County Sheriff's Office. It's really important. It's a prayer vigil. And the crime, last week we had 5 homicides. I'm talking about literally from Sunday through Thursday. Plus, a police officer was shot yesterday morning near the zoo. You all know I've been talking about going to the zoo. People at the zoo heard the gunshots, but the officer is fine. He was shot in the leg. Otha, I must commend my dear friend. He is definitely a leader within our community when it comes to rallying people together of different backgrounds and praying and just trying to make this more of a positive city. It is a positive city, but like elsewhere, we have a epidemic with crimes, homicides, armed robberies, and stuff like that. So tomorrow, if you can make it, please meet with Otha and others at the Hinds County Sheriff's Office in downtown Jackson at 6 p.m. Tomorrow he will be taping a show with Bishop Ronnie Crudup for his show at 3 p.m. And his show airs airs on Thursday evenings. And they're going to be talking about Otha's effort, Enough is Enough, you know, to stop the violence and how we need to discuss that the whole city needs to be revived. And I definitely, you all know I agree with that. And many of you I know pray for our city. And that's just a special announcement. And Otha might join us tomorrow morning for the 5:30 a.m. live broadcast. But I'm definitely doing my part of spreading the word for him. Because one thing about it, we always like to let people know what's going on. So I just wanted to do that. It's time for us to talk sports and everything else. And here's Ridge Roughneck. Hi, what's up, Ridge?
What up, my two sexy chunk of chocolate?
What's up with you?
Well, just now getting to the house and about to start cooking dinner. I tuned into the show earlier. Of course, you just had to play that cheesy, campy happy birthday song just one more time just to torture me. Hey, where did you get her? She must have been drunk at a karaoke bar.
No, from the website that's promoted at the end.
Well, all I can say is it was money well spent. Your money, but it was spent.
But that's a website. You get one free. You get the song free, and you get it customized. Mm. It's a pretty awesome.
Oh,
website.
Really? Well, yeah. Okay, free. So, like I said, you got what you paid for.
I love it. And I happen to like karaoke.
Really?
I happen to like karaoke.
Right. You know, I gotta have a little silly moment again. I mean, you've been celebrating your birthday all month.
But I happen to like corny stuff too.
Yeah, I know.
It's the nerd in me.
And I love a person that's honest about their shortcomings.
Yeah. I'm having a blast in the chat room, too. So if it seems like I'm, like, zoning off, we're already talking sports in the chat room.
Well, it's that time of the year. I mean, yeah. LeBron and...
Your prediction for tonight. Do you have any predictions? Are you not into tonight's game?
It's a preseason game. I mean, if you want to bet on the starters and how they play, you know, my money's going to be on the Steelers because, I mean, you know, the Steelers will always go. Steelers can win. They just can win any year.
Are you one of those that say that preseason should be eliminated?
Not necessarily. No, I mean, preseason has a purpose. You have to have preseason.
I happen to find preseason games to be very important and pertinent to the regular season. But I've heard football players and some fans say that those preseason games don't mean anything. But I think
The thing about preseason is preseason warms you up for the regular season. And then preseason is also a way for you to evaluate your talent. You got to know who you're going to be sending out there in September by putting them out there in August. I mean, there's a lot of things you can learn and discover by, you know, putting your guys out there and just see how they handle under pressure.
Yeah, because many of them found out last year how important practice is and preseason.
Oh, you got that right.
Many of them found out right after regular season began, like how their muscles and their bones just weren't the same without that.
Well, everybody can't beat Brett Favre. So, I mean, Brett Favre, he can be drunk at a bar. All you guys do is slap him up, put him in the shower, throw a uniform on, he'll know what to do. Okay, everybody can't beat Brett Favre.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of guys wish they were, but that's the only guy I know that don't need training camp. Don't need practice.
Brett is like that. I work with bands throughout my life, and he reminds me of some band, some performers that I know. The entire band could be performing, but they need like a certain band member. But the certain band members already know their stuff. But the band like know that this person knows their stuff, but they want the person to be involved, so the whole band will know. But it never fails. A lot of you musicians know what I'm talking about. And those are their fans.
That
person always show up when it's time, either when it's showtime or for the last rehearsal. You know,
right.
and I know Brett used to do his teams like that from the Packers on to the Vikings. I know he did the Vikings like that the last season he played for them.
Brett was on autopilot. Really the last 5 years of the season, you know, the last 5 years of his career. He didn't want to go to training camp. He thought training camp was boring. You know, he know the routine. He know everything that's going on. But since all the other players was groveling, well, we're out here. Why can't he be out here? And Brett was like, you know, screw them. I know what to do. Y'all don't know what to do. I know what to do.
But they're like, but we need to know what to do.
Red, like, look, all I got to do is go to the huddle. You all know what to do. Line up.
You can do your part.
I'll come your way, catch it. No.
Yeah.
You know, Brett simplified things like that. You know. But like I said, I mean, it worked for him. It don't work for everybody. I know some guys, you know, that they need practice. They need practice all the time. You know. Everybody, you know, like I said, everybody can't be Allen Iverson.
Hey, man, you talking about practice, man? What? We talking practice.
Everybody can't be Allen Iverson. Because, you know, man was like, hey, I don't need to practice. All I need to do is go out and play. You know, so I can sympathize with that to a certain degree. But no, preseason is very important.
I thought Brett might be saying, what'd you say?
No, I was just that, you know, just to make light of your point. Yeah, practice, I mean, preseason is very important. Let you know who you need to have out there, because everybody doesn't quite catch the speed of the game, especially like rookies coming into the NFL. You just can't, you know, I mean, college is so humdrum and so, you know, laid back compared to the speed of the game of the NFL. You know, I've seen guys in college run the ball like, you know, it's a man amongst boys. It's like they just out there, boom, just run by everybody. In the NFL, they get nailed at the line of scrimmage. You know, it's easy running through the holes when you're playing in the Big Ten or the SEC, but it don't prepare you for Ray Lewis waiting on you at the other side of that hole.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, his team played a pretty good game the other night with him sitting on the bench, you know. The announcers talked a lot about that. It's like, they're doing good.
Well, hey, I mean.
You didn't watch that game.
I've been catching a lot of the games, you know, when I can, but, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I like what the Cowboys doing. They looking good, but you know, the Cowboys are always good at front. So I'm gonna wait and see how they look in December, November. Wait that Thanksgiving, because they always make you think they're going all the way to the Super Bowl, all the way up until Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, they pull the plug on the rest of the season. So we'll see how they look. I mean,
wow. We're talking about everybody.
Jason Witten. Glad
we're
Jason
talking about
Witten
everybody.
Got it.
What'd you say?
No, I was just saying about Jason Witten and his spleen injury. I mean, at least
he got his
spleen problem now instead of having it in the middle of the season. So. That's Tony Romo's bread and butter right there. So, I mean, they had a good game last night with San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
They,
what was that score?
Well, it was 28-20. I mean, the Scrubs came in and kind of stunk it up after that. But, you know, as far as the first team, they did great. I think the defense is really improved over last year because, I mean, they definitely fixed their weakest link, and that's the secondary. I hate that they had to let Terrence Newman go. I thought Terrence Newman could at least got moved to safety or something. I think he would have played better as a safety than a cornerback.
Wow. And last night, you know, I broadcast last night while you was enjoying the rain and Big D. The Giants. I mentioned the Giants score against the Jets. So, what you think about Tebow? That's your guy. And chances.
Like I told you the other week, I'm a little sick and tired of Tim Tebow. Not him as the player. I'm sick and tired of all this hype. I mean, I'm glad the guy got a second chance in New York, but the thing is, he is the most talked about backup quarterback in NFL history. And I hate that they, I hate that Mark Sanchez has been a good guy about the whole situation, but it's gotten old fast. I don't even like watching ESPN First Take anymore because all Stephen A. Smith and Scott and Skip Bayless going to do, they're going to bore you to death about Tim Tebow. I mean, I like the guy. I think he's a good quarterback, but he's not even starting. So that's just my whole issue about it. He's a backup quarterback now. Now Sanchez tears a quad muscle or rupture the Achilles or something, you know, then I can see them talking about Tim Tebow. But right now, No, I would just leave. I just let it be.
Wow, we're in the chat room. In case you want to elaborate, we're talking about everything from right now. We're talking about everything from Peyton Manning, Ray Lewis. Saying that Ray Lewis should retire. You know, like I said, Ray Lewis is a beast, and I'm told that Ray Lewis should retire. We've been talking about Chad Johnson. You have any comments regarding what Chad has been going through?
Well, he's just dealing with life as a football player and celebrity. I find it funny that his wife was only married to him a month. And now she's already filing for divorce and wants half of everything. I'm like, how you gonna get half of anything if you only been married a month? You know. So that's just drama. It's just ridiculous drama from the start. But you know,
wait a second, how much is she asking for?
Well, bottom line, she wants half of everything he got.
Wow.
Like,
you know, I network with Chad a lot. And, you know, I network he and T.O. and a lot of the guys. And for some reason, I had a weird feeling about that relationship. I'm a person that watches basketball wives, too, and I like her. But even you and I have been in, like, relationships that we probably knew weren't a good fit. But I wish them the best and was happy for them. But I felt something. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. I felt something wasn't right. Some people say, "Well, he's just been a football player." Some people say, "Well, she should have been glad that he bought condoms, because you know all cheaters don't use condoms." So some
she had gold diggeritis, and she went for it. And made a play, she got it. I mean,
I laugh at
women who think that all they got to do is just show up, spread their legs, and get paid. I'm not too keen on that.
I didn't mean to get that loud, but yeah, I had a weird feeling, and I hate to say that. I just wonder sometimes how some of these guys can't see through that. You said it because I do like her. I like her on Basketball Wives. I do like her. But I just had a weird feeling a long time ago. But networking with them, I you know wish them well, and I wasn't being too faced. I really meant it. I want them to be happy. But I foresaw this. Now, I didn't foresee the domestic violence, but I foresaw something wasn't right.
But you know the thing is, you're only hearing one side of the story. I mean, we don't know what all led to that. I mean, I'm not condoning nor condemning what Chad did.
And me being a person, like, I know how it feels to get whopped upside the head and slung around. So, but then it goes back to what you're saying, too. Two sides to the story when it comes to what's the sickness called?
Huh?
What's the sickness called?
Oh, gold digger phobia. I mean, gold diggeritis.
Yeah,
sometimes a woman, I'm not saying it's bad women, but I'm just saying this. Sometimes a woman would just push a man as far as they can till he just snaps. And then it's like, I got him.
But obviously, and I'm not a gold digger, so that's why I'm tickled pink. You know, so, oh my God. But yeah, it seems like guys can see through
this. Hang around long enough to have a baby. Or hang around long enough to get that ring. They start dancing around like Beyonce and everything when they get that ring, and then it just go to their head. So, but with these men,
listener in the listener in the chat room just saying good point. We're talking about that.
When these men learn, quit just looking at a woman thinking it's eye candy. Quit fantasizing about the perfect woman because, number one, there is no perfect woman out there. You're not going to find the perfect woman. Sure ain't going to find one under those circumstances. And, you know, bottom line, you get what you look for. I mean, you know, some things is obvious as nose on your face. But
wow.
They don't realize until after it done hit. Then they be kicking themselves like, I should have known. Now it's too late then.
Wow.
It's too late.
And then we're going to see his release from the Miami Dolphins on Hard Knocks. Because, you know, they're filming. And, you know, they actually show, I saw a clip the other day where they filmed the part where they told him that they didn't need him to be on the team anymore. And that's going to be on Hard Knocks.
Okay, well, I definitely want to see that. But I'll tell you what was crazy. No, I mean, not even 24 hours after he got cut from the Dolphins, she filed for divorce. I mean, can you say ironic?
The person in the chat room said that, well, in the state they're in anyway, is considered community property in divorces, and she would be entitled to half anyway.
No, she won't. Because I'm gonna tell you why. Community property only applies to half of what you earned from the time you was married, not from what he had before he got they married.
If they were married 6 weeks, then so she.
So what you gonna get? Half the signing bonus, a couple of game checks, half of that. I mean, the man had everything before. They married.
He has a lot of endorsement deals. He get a lot of money from endorsements.
Okay, and them things went right down the toilet after he got cut from the team. So what you going to get? Change? I mean.
I was so happy for him. And then when T.O. get a job with Seattle, then this happened. Oh, my God.
Well, I heard you talking about that earlier, but the bottom line I tell anybody, when these silly women quit thinking, as soon as they had a baby and go down to the child support office, they guarantee to get money. You can't get no money if this man don't have no money. You got to wait till you get a job. The man was out of work for a whole year and a half.
Well, one of his mamas, she was like, okay, it's time to pay up. He ain't even got his first paycheck yet.
He ain't got his first paycheck yet. Man, ain't even guaranteed on the team yet. He can get cut tomorrow, then what? That money he gets is going to be lost. He getting $1 million contract. That's just for him to play the year. No sign bonus. No bonus, no anything. No roster bonus, no nothing. He don't get anything until after the season. Now, if they make the playoffs, he getting a certain extra amount. He get a bonus on that. He get incentive packages involved with that contract. But the base salary is $1 million. And after Uncle Sam get his, whatever's left, you know, it's going to be it.
Okay. Our friend in the chat room is a Houston fan, from Houston area, I think. And I just wanted to mention, I didn't know who 49ers had played this weekend, but Houston beat the 49ers. Did you know that? So...
it's preseason.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out. The person in the chat room.
You remember when the Cowboys went 1-15 back in '89? They were undefeated undefeated during the preseason.
They were
4-0 in preseason, and they went 1-15. So that's what I mean. Preseason don't mean nothing.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember those days. I was with the Cowboys the whole 80s, 70s and the whole 80s, and I remember Steeler fans and other fans just love making fun of us. As brokenhearted as I was when Tom Landry left, was terminated, boy, and then it was time for Johnson and the trio. Like, okay,
no.
It's on and popping now.
Well, you know, I mean...
Yeah, I remember that.
There was
89,
no way.
That was our last, sad season.
There was no way that Landry's going to keep his job. It really cracked me up how people just, they acted like, you know, Jerry Jones invaded the United States and executed the president, you know. I mean the man wasn't doing a good job at the time. They was 3-13 the year before. Hadn't been to the playoffs in a few years. know, his system was just pretty much outsourced and outdated. They needed to get an infusion. Now, they cackled and laughed that first year when they went 1-15. But then when the Cowboys started back winning, then everybody said it was a great idea. But before then, Jerry Jones was an idiot. Jimmy Johnson was a prima donna that hadn't earned his stripes, you know. But it's amazing how winning changes all those ills that they had. So that's what the whole – I mean, that's really what the whole bottom line is. It's all about winning. They was talking about yesterday that Tony Romo is the second highest-rated quarterback in NFL history right now. But do anybody care?
Who?
No. They said Tony Romo's the second.
Oh.
They said Tony Romo's the second highest rated quarterback statistically. He's the second highest rated quarterback in NFL history.
Wow.
Well, who cares?
Wow.
All they care about is winning.
Don't get your girl stirred up, Jameel Hill and all those cats. Boy, Jameel, she talks good on that topic.
Right. Because it's like this. Anytime people are still rehashing and bringing up him fumbling the field goal back in 2007, that's when you know people just, you know, they don't have nothing nice to say. I mean, that's going on 6 seasons ago when he bobbled the field goal. It ain't like it was a Super Bowl game. It was just a regular playoff game. But, I mean, you know, Romo's still getting ridiculed for that even now. So, here in Dallas, it's like, what have you done for me lately?
Okay, Janet.
Well, that's...
What's going on with Plaxico Burress? Is he going to be wearing the Cowboys?
I don't know. I'm hoping. I was thinking that when the Dolphins cut Chad Johnson, they was going to bring in Plaxico, but, you know, nothing happened. I mean, So I'm thinking that Chad might wind up playing for the Cowboys. He might wind up being a Cowboy. Between him and Plaxico, it might be one of those two.
Yeah,
so,
you know, because I wondered the other day when I heard he was cut we're talking about Plaxico, but when I heard that Chad was cut, somebody's going to hire Chad. And I was wondering if Cowboys would hire him.
Yeah, well.
And that thought ran across my mind when I heard he was released, because I know he's going to be working. He won't be unemployed for long.
No, he's not going to be unemployed for long. And then, you know, somebody going to get cut. Somebody going to get injured. It's that time of the year. And he'll wind up getting a job. I mean, heck, he might wind up playing for either the Steelers or the Colts. You never know. I mean, he will find work this year. And it's like I said, it's just unfortunate what has happened, you know, in that situation. But, hey, those are the breaks. I mean, I just think that Joe Philbin was basically flexing his muscle and trying to show everybody, you know, that he's running things down in Miami, and he used Chad as an example. Because, I mean, the man's not even – facing any disciplinary action from the NFL about that situation. That case is going to get dropped and, you know, won't be nothing else to say about it.
Wow. The friend in the chat room, he's agreeing with you, though. He said, she's only married to him for 49 days. So that's 6 weeks. Don't even seem like 49 days. So she ain't getting much. Well, we know that. Well, I guess
she's going to get her bags packed and going to leave. That's all she's going to get.
It's more than the average woman gets, but back to what you were saying. What is it? Gold dig-itis.
Gold dig-itis, yeah. I mean, got that itch for the gold. Give you like the leprechaun. Me wants me gold. Somebody got me gold.
But, you know, But I'm just saying, there's sisters of all races out there that aren't gold diggers, and these guys, they over, and I'm one of those sisters. And these guys look over us because maybe we don't look the part, or I don't know, maybe something goes
different. With the money they make, they can make you look the part. You'll look the part.
Exactly.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but don't you know? I remember Dr. Phil had a show on about a year ago about gold diggers. I mean, there's this expert gold digger out there that she has like a class where she teach women
right.
to be gold diggers. You know?
Right. Black guys always want that woman with that hour shaped figure and that mocha skin, you know.
But there are a lot of women, you know. You're right, because I can look the part. You're right. There's a lot of women that do carry themselves a certain way, but aren't gold diggers. You know.
Right.
Even they get looked over. So it's something about the gold diggers.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is
gold digger guys out there. It seems like, you know, people should be able to have a radar for them, but not.
No, because like I said, they're too busy looking everywhere else except, you know, looking in their head, you know. I mean, it don't take brains to look beautiful. It really don't. God, I've seen so many women that got a very beautiful and don't have a grandma brain in their head. So I mean, that goes, you know, without saying. But the bottom line is, you know, that don't mean you fall in love with them and be like, okay, you know, just doing the world and all that. I mean, you know, all that.
You're making me think about episode of Millionaire Matchmaker. I know it was this woman, millionaire, Patty told her, do not try to, the only way how you going to find out if somebody like you or not if you like limit your gifts. She was like, don't go offering and buying gifts and paying for trips and everything when you're dating these guys. And this one millionaireess, she went the opposite direction and was telling these guys what she'll buy them and actually buying them stuff. And even some people that aren't gold diggers, they turn into gold diggers. So you're making a good point, because Patty was like, no, don't do that.
Well, once these guys stop get their head out of their face, out of between you know where, then they'll look up and realize next time you turn around, their money gone. Then they'll be like, what did I do?
But you're the one with the offering and putting stuff on people, so the average person is not going to say no. Then they feel like they're used.
You remember that? Did I tell you the story about back in 91 when the Cowboys finally beat the Philadelphia Eagles during the regular season? Remember when I was telling you how K-104 had an after party? Dallas Cowboy after party. That's how they had promoted the thing, as a Dallas Cowboy after party at the Sheraton Hotel in Fort Worth.
Okay.
Normally, the Dallas Cowboys don't do anything in Fort Worth, especially not going to be doing anything after the game. You got like five clubs in Dallas that they go to all the time. You got Lexington, Turtle Creek.
Dion's club was in the late 90s. I was about to say Dion's club
right.
was opening in the late 90s.
Well,
okay.
Right. Yeah, his club opened up like 94, 95, something like that. But anyway, I'm telling you, it was like Skeezers Row out there in Fort Worth. I mean, even some girls that I used to work with was out there, and I mean, they had it going on. They got the hat done, got the weave done, got this done, the nails done. They got the new dress with the tag still on so they can take it back the next day. I mean, they didn't want to dance with nobody who wasn't a Dallas Cowboy. They sat up there. I mean, they was up there at 9 o'clock. It was Sunday night. I remember it just like yesterday. 9 o'clock, they was there. They were waiting for the limos to pull up. They were waiting on some cowboys. They looking for Troy, Emmitt, Michael, Nate, Eric Williams. You know, they were waiting on. Not one football player showed up. Cowboys, Eagles, nobody.
had through the party and was just promoting it that way so they can get people in. Wow.
So they can get people there. Right, right, right. Everybody just got straight fleece. And, I mean, they sat up there, I think about 11 o'clock is when they realized wasn't nobody coming. Now everybody was getting mad. And then they started getting mad leaving. And you know me, of course, I had to rub it in. I just had to tell them, well, baby, y'all can still dance with us. We still all at you. We'll play for the Cowboys, but we'll tackle you. So, they walked out of there pissed. They was, oh, man, they was hot. They were beyond repair on that one. And I mean, only one, huh?
Like you said, they normally stay within the city, so they should have been suspicious anyway. But they were like, we going to this.
Oh yeah, I mean it was free to get in. They had to pay nothing to get in because K104 was sponsoring it. But
yeah.
Like I said, they were just totally misled.
K104 really was sponsoring it.
Right. Because,
But I don't understand, why did K104 false advertise?
No, they didn't necessarily false advertise.
They might not false advertise. They might have said invited guests.
No. This is what they did. They just said it was a Dallas Cowboy after party. They never said a guarantee that Dallas Cowboy fans is gonna be there. That was just the assumption that everybody made.
That is a Dallas Cowboy after party. Oh my God.
All you had to say, I mean look, that's like me promoting a Dallas Cowboy party at a club and we're just gonna watch the game and we just have a party talking about the Cowboys after the game.
Exactly.
As long as I don't say no Cowboys coming, you know, I can say Dallas Cowboy anything.
And like Prince fans, a lot of Prince fans are listening. Like Prince fans all over the world always have Prince parties, Prince
right.
Purple Rain
right.
parties. Do Prince
right.
or anybody come to the parties? Or people who love Prince and love Prince music.
Right. And that's exactly the same principle. You sit up there. I mean, if I say if I say we're having a Michael Jackson party, whether Mike was coming or not, of course we know he ain't coming now. But I'm just saying, all we doing is talking about the music or anything like that. It's not a guarantee that his brothers is gonna be there. It's no guarantee Janet gonna be there.
Exactly.
John might not even be there.
But if you really invited them, you could say invited guests are Janet Jackson. Just like
no, see, then that's lying.
Just like LT, I got an invite to LT's retirement bash a couple weeks ago there in Big D. And
right.
the list of invited guests, celebrities, and athletes were amazing. Because I told my mom, my God, there were so many amazing people on the list from just everybody. And I was like, Kendra and Hank was on there. I told my mom, I'd love to meet Kendra and Hank.
Okay.
There were so many big name people on there, but they made sure on the invite, they stressed. Invited guests. A lot of them, you know, LT retirement.
All right, you can say that when you say scheduled to appear.
Exactly.
Like you can say scheduled to appear, and then I always say the last minute they didn't show up when you knew they wasn't showing up no damn way.
Yeah, because you have a good point, because a lot of celebrities get pissed, too, when they hear about they're performing somewhere, and they're really not. Yeah. There's some shady promoters out there that do that.
Right.
They tell
people
that someone's
going
to do that. But if it's something about, because I received an invite from somebody in Australia, and they were having a party for somebody here in America, Chris Brown. They were in Australia, and Chris Brown was nowhere near Australia, but they were having a Chris Brown party. Yeah, they having a Chris Brown party to celebrate his music. So that's a good point.
Right.
Now some people might have showed up because they don't know if Chris Brown was going to show
right.
up or not.
Show up on the assumption that this person's going to be there. He never show up. I mean, people used to get ganked like that all the time, you know, especially when Like one time, Luther Campbell was supposed to be at a party. Well, you know, they said it was a Luther Campbell type party. Matter of fact, it was a concert that he was supposed to be doing in Dallas. And Luther was in Dallas.
He just didn't show up.
Was that
an Art Days at the Lake?
Because
wasn't that an Art Days at the Lake?
No, that was at the Longhorn Ballroom.
Oh, okay, because that was all on national news, what you're talking about. Cause they act
because
they acted
a fool,
didn't they?
Yeah, because, see, Luther got there. Luther said, look, I need my money up front. So, you know, Luther had gotten goose like this. The promoter scheduled the party. Okay, the person shows up. As soon as he shows up, the promoter get all the money at the door. He done got the money. He done hit the back door. He gone.
Oh my God!
Luther ain't got paid, and everybody else just got left holding the bag. So what Luther did on this one, he said, "Look, you gotta pay me now, or I'm not performing. Dude, I give you the money after the show. Dude, like, now hell no, you gonna give it to me now? I ain't appearing. So I can understand why the man would do that, because too many times guys got screwed like that.
Exactly.
So, promoter get all that money at the front door. As soon as everybody come in, he count the money at the door. The guy out there performing, by the time he about to do his next to the last song or whatever, homeboy gone. He in the limo on the burnt off.
I remember. I'm glad you refreshed my memory. I remember that. That was all on the news, and the crowds was like out there showing out, and what Luther was showing out too.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, look, if you ain't got my money, I ain't going out there.
And you and Luther don't make a scene about stuff if it's running smoothly, because he likes to keep his performances. Well, back then, he kept stuff underground. And so, you know, he was pissed. Dang.
I mean, bottom line, I mean, the guy already taking a chance, because look, you know, flown out there. A lot of times, the promoter's supposed to pay for the flight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the guy ain't got nothing to lose off paying $200-$300 for the flight or whatever. Or Luther just flew in his own jet. I mean, he said, I could take that loss. I mean, I could fly to Dallas. If ain't nothing going on tonight, I'd find somewhere for me to go.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's probably what he did. But bottom line, he need to get paid. I need my 10 grand tonight. If I ain't got my 10 grand, I'm out of here. Because in a situation like that, you're supposed to pay for performer up front. Whatever you make in the door, that's your money. As long as you pay the performer, you got him out the way. The rest of the money is yours.
Yeah, and there are those that say, you know, give me half, now give me 10% as soon as we agree, or half, and then there are some that they know they work for an honest promoter that say, give me my half up front, and then give me the other half right after.
A lot of times with a promoter will he'll front the half, do a direct deposit on the man's account, then turn around and rescind the deposit. They done that.
But like you said, with them shady promoters, that's a whole other story. where's so and so? Must have been hooking up right after the show.
I mean that has happened before. A lot of times, what they do. Luke might do something. You know, someone like me, I'm just saying, for example, like Luke, you got a lot of other performers, they hire their own security, which be watching the back door in case the promoter, somebody want to dip out the back door, somebody be there waiting on, where you going? Like, you ain't going nowhere to, you know, you ain't going nowhere to my boy get paid. It usually ends up bad on that situation like that.
Well, you talked about you mean what?
Now, Snoop Doggy Dogg been gotten took like that before.
I remember one time right here, like 20 plus years ago, when NWA came to town, and on Ice Cube, and it was Ice Cube, and when he went so low, and you know, that's when I was studying being a promoter and doing a lot of. Behind the scenes and just talking to a lot of promoters and managers of groups and talking to artists themselves, and I was right there, and Ice Cube perform at the Mississippi Coliseum, and he didn't have all of his money. And he was supposed to, I think he got half, they had got half of their money, but I think he was supposed to have gotten like the rest of it right before going on stage. Right before going on stage, he was supposed to have gotten the remainder of his money. And apparently,
when the guys show up, they go back in the back office.
And, you know, that puts an artist in a bind because here is your fans waiting to see you. But then you know, wait a second, the agreement was I supposed to be getting my money right before. So, yeah, he had got his money before. He had got half, and he's supposed to be getting the remainder before the show. So it was like a big deal. I was watching this with my own eyes happen, and he was pissed. The lynch mob.
Right.
I was like, dang, that was a class of mine, a real-life class, Promotions 101 back in the day. And he was like, the agreement was I get my money right before we go on stage. And he was like really pissed. But he did go on stage. It was a delay in the performance, but I think he did get most of the money before going on stage, and they sure had to pay him the rest right after the show. Because that was the agreement, you know. They got their money, you know. The other artists got their money. So he won his money.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you have a couple comments that say, okay, the fans don't deserve to get screwed. I'm going to go ahead and go out here anyway. But the bottom line still is that's the risk that the performer taking going out there and then wind up getting left holding the bag. Then he got to wind up trying to sue the promoter if he can find him. If the promoter's name is who he say is. You got a lot of guys that are real tricks when it comes to that. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, these guys gotta get investigated and checked out on everything before you even do business with them. That's a hairy part of the business.
Wow. You took me talking about the gold diggers. Last night, T.I. was in town, and this young lady promoted his show and brought him here to the spot, and named Tyshia. And I guess the show went well, so shout out to you all. The same things you said tonight about the gold diggers getting dressed up, going to the hair salon, my mother said that last night because it was like 8 or 9 o'clock, and I said, well, I guess they're getting ready for T.I. And my mom said, yes. So they've been to the shopping and everything you said, my brother said. I was like, but T.I., they know T.I. ain't going nowhere. He love Tiny too much. Now, this is what I said. I mean, I love Tiny, but he might have a one-night stand, but I believe he's really committed.
Right, I was just about to say. Yeah. You got a lot of, you be probably women going to try to be the one to get that paternity suit going.
I believe he's faithful, but I'm just saying, allegedly, guys gonna be guys and women gonna be women. You know, it might slip up one night. So I was like, it'd be hard for them to get with him. You know,
there was this one guy who said he had sex with this woman the night after the show, right? He used the condom, right? He said, you know, after he used the condom, here this woman went in the kitchen and got a turkey baster. And is siphoning the semen out of the condom and trying to inseminate herself with it.
Now, who was this?
No one. I mean, no name I'm going to say in particular. I mean, I'm just saying this is how desperate some women get. You know, football. I mean, this happened to football players and celebrities alike.
I'm glad you mentioned it because I know I heard that story, I think maybe from you, but I heard another similar story, too, where a woman did get pregnant by going back, getting the condom, somehow getting the semen out and inserting the semen in her.
Yeah.
I assume that, but she got pregnant. Same story.
It's kind of like you took your chances, hit or miss, but yeah, she took a turkey baster and siphoned the semen out and then inserted the baster in herself and start shooting the thing back in there through the did all that.
That is some weird thinking right there.
Man, hey, that's what happens when women want to use their body to try to turn into an ATM machine.
Sometimes I think if I was a guy, how would I? And some of you, like if I was a guy and you were a chick, I wonder how we would I would be as a guy and you would be as a chick. Well, that is weird.
That's weird just even thinking about that one.
Yeah, what if I was a guy and you was a female? How would we be as, you know, the opposites? But
man, you know, that'll make for a Walt Disney movie, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm like, change up. But I'm like,
yeah.
That is some good thinking. I mean, how did she even think of that idea?
Like I said, devious people think of devious stuff. And devious mind, greed does that to people. So you just got a lot of women that, you know, they don't want to work. They ain't trying to work. Best way to do that, you know, it's like this one chick had three of Sam Perkins babies.
Sometimes they be working career women that do have it going on.
Hey, but you know what? 30 grand a month don't hurt when you ain't got to worry about that. You got to worry about that check coming in.
Sometimes it do be women that have it going on and do have their own money. So I guess they just be wanting more money.
Matter of fact, you know, I mean, I know you heard about this one where this chick was actually in a situation where, you know, she met this guy, was in love with the guy, wanted to be with the guy, but she really didn't want to marry him because she married him. That's going to cut off her alimony and all that because, you know, if the woman gets married, all the money she gets from her ex-husband stops.
Yeah, like when Nicole Murphy marries Michael Strahan, all her alimony would be cut off because now she's newly married.
Well, it ain't like Strahan. I mean, Strahan ain't hurting for no money, so that should have been a problem.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you're making a good point.
I mean, it ain't like Nicole was trying to marry me, and I ain't got that type of money, so.
Well, I don't know. I better be quiet because she might. I don't know. I guess she is getting alimony, but she. She had recently talked about she went to her bank account and her bank account was empty. So I got to get this whole story.
I mean, let me tell what she had. 5 kids by Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Boy, 5 kids. That's a lot. That's a lot of chang-chang every month.
Yeah, there's a lot of times.
That ain't no money to sneeze at right there.
So I don't know. I need to get more info on that story. But,
yeah.
You think people getting alimony, it might not be, but she probably getting her alimony. But she has shared a story where she went to her bank account and her money was gone. So I need to find out. I don't know exactly what happened to the money, but it was like zip, gone.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, though, I mean, all type of crazy things happen. And when you got money involved in relationships, that's just one of those perils you have to deal with.
Isn't that something? Even when you lack of money and money, period, cause problems.
Well, they say money is the root of all evil, but the bottom line is it's not necessarily the money that's the root of all evil. It's the motivation of people behind money that's the root of all evil.
Because you wouldn't have told me. First of all, I was shocked that Dion, and even though I'm glad he and Tracy are a couple, you never would have told me that he and... what's her name? Pilar was divorced, but I did not think they would carry out like that. You would have thought that divorce would have been a peaceful one of those Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes type of divorces, you know?
Right. You would have hoped, but unfortunately, that ain't what happened. So, I mean, I hate for both of them that it got to that point, but. You know, those are the breaks. I mean, a whole lot of things happen when you get emotions fired up, and then you got this money tied into things.
Wow. My cousin Linda's been listening to the show. Missing Big D also with you, Arthur of Myrna's Adventure. Cousin Linda is on the listening in on the show. So what's up, Cousin Linda? oh, she does want me to comment. I was going to say, it's taking her a minute, but I thought she may have been just enjoying the show, but She has a comment to make. I know she checked out a couple films this weekend, and let me just talk to her. Hi, Cousin Linda.
Hi, Cousin Bethany. I'm sitting here laughing at you. Is that Reg Roughneck on the line? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm laughing at y'all. Hey, everything's everything. Y'all are tickling me. This is the funniest conversation I have heard in a long time. Beth, you talked about it.
And I wonder if you were going to make a comment.
Well, I forgot to press 1 for one thing because I was trying to get in the chat room and I didn't know how to do it. And then I ended up on Facebook. I ended up on Facebook and I didn't get a response. And so I said, oh, I need to press 1 because when you sent me the email, I was watching a Farrakhan video on YouTube and I wasn't really concentrating. Yeah, so I forgot to press the 1.
Okay.
But when you were saying that if you were a man and if Red was a woman and how y'all would feel about each other, and then he said,
that's some crazy role playing right there.
Yeah, it's like Walt Disney would turn over in his grave if he made a movie about that.
But yeah, sometimes I think that, especially, I think there was different guys. Sometimes I think, well, if I was a guy, because I feel like I'd be the perfect gentleman. You know, you raised me, Linda, to be a lady, so I assume I would be a perfect gentleman. So I'm like,
that's
if I was a guy, Reg,
never
a lady,
ever.
And what kind of lady would Reg be? You know?
Oh Lord.
My God.
You know?
I can't even comprehend that one right there.
That's a freaky Friday for you right there.
That's a freaky Friday right there. I'm sorry, I'm out of drink to that.
These guys' opinions and thoughts, it makes me wonder. How would you be if you were a woman?
Well, I know one thing, if I was a woman, I definitely have to wipe my drinking. I think if I was a woman, the one thing I would do, that would stop me from drinking so much.
What?
I ain't trying to get no train pulled on me now. I ain't happening. I had to watch my drinking then.
Oh.
That'd be the first thing.
But sometimes that happens when you're not drinking, but especially you're watching your drinking and who you around, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I have to be wary of that one.
You're so crazy.
I ain't trying to be waking up with no feeling wet all down under there and then looking around. I don't even know where I am and start being in somebody's room or something now.
I'm getting an idea what kind of woman you'd be. And you won't be a gold digger, huh?
Not necessarily, because, I don't think I would go out like that. But I ain't going to lie now. If I find somebody who got the bread, I ain't just going to turn around and say no either. I ain't going to sit up there tripping on morals and principles. It ain't going to be like that. But I'm not going to be sitting up there always, you know, browbeating somebody, where the money at. No, I couldn't be like that.
But you would be a lady and have to spend the money, huh?
Hey. If I find one with good money, I'd be a man to help us spend the money. It don't make me no difference.
Okay.
On that part.
We know you love Serena Williams, so you'll love her if she didn't have any money.
I love if she got money or don't have money. It don't matter. I share my if we homies, I share my cardboard box with her.
I hope Serena's listening.
She can sleep on the cardboard. I'll sleep outside. I'll sleep outside the box.
That is so nice.
I make sure Serena taken care of.
Serena, we have found your man.
We got a pond of tennis rackets to eat, and that's what we got to do.
So, Cousin Linda, have you been keeping up with Chad Johnson? You probably emailed me something. Have you been keeping up with Chad? with the football player.
Ochocinco.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been reading. I've been reading about him.
Yeah, you know, has anybody been calling him Ochocinco lately?
Well, I forgot. Ted Johnson changed his name.
Yeah, and that's the reason why he changed his name, Reg, because she said she didn't want that name. She said she wanted his real name. And so, like a week after they got married, she told him that she didn't want that she wanted his real name as her last name, not his that Ochocinco.
Oh, the Ochocinco thing was good. That was him getting his nickname on the jersey. That was for marketing purpose.
But he did legally.
He had to legally change his name to do that.
He had to go to court and change it back to Johnson. So she would be happy.
So it could be her legal. Well, she must have really pee-whipped him then, because it sounds like he's doing everything that she wanted. I thought maybe it was just, I thought he married her, what do they call him, trophy wife? But it sounds like
he was
really
in love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's trophy wives, and then Reggie says she has a case of gold digitis.
Yeah, gold diggeritis. I'd never heard of that. That's funny.
Got to eat for the gold.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's the trophy wife. Because I'm like, well, I don't know what to say. Wow. Everything's been...
Why don't these guys marry average-looking women? They might fare better in the financial arena.
All about the ego, baby.
The average system of all colors get overlooked.
But a lot of these so-called gorgeous women, like y'all was saying earlier, it's a lot of plastic surgery and fake hair, makeup, nails, and all that kind of stuff. I wonder
like
what these women look like after.
Like guys care. Like guys care if they got fake boobs or got that Nicki Minaj booty or everything. Nobody care if you got a collagen injection. I don't care if you got silicone put in there, fiberglass, whatever you do, fluff it up. That's all they care. Worry about all that later on.
If they had a natural woman, it seems like they might not have to go through all these financial difficulties. I'm just saying,
well,
I don't know.
Guarantee. Even though there ain't no guarantee either way, but.
True.
It's all about the money.
So I guess they'll
money.
Just take their chance. Mm-hmm.
And when they split, that's part of the divorce settlement. When they split, that sure is the part of the divorce settlement, too. They always say, I want to maintain my lifestyle. Of my hair and my nails.
Why don't the athletes get prenups and get my monthly Botox?
See, a prenup is like, what? You don't trust me? What? What you trying to say? I don't need your money. Yeah, that's all they gonna say then.
Then,
like Eddie Murphy say, when he do all that, then next thing you know, guys say, okay, you don't need to do no prenup. I love you, baby. Okay. You're going to take your chance. I mean, I'm like this. I'd rather be with somebody who I knew before I even got rich. Before I just married somebody I just didn't know at that point in time that's knowing me after I'm rich, because I'm going to always feel that are they really with me because they love me, or are they just with me because of the money? That would be the problem I would have.
When Mr. T first got famous, a lot of people were asking him about women, and he was saying they didn't know him when he was a garbage man, so why would he be trying to date them now, you know, after he got rich?
Well, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all up on me.
Charlie Wilson was the opposite. He was down and out, and the woman he married, who happens to be Caucasian, but when you hear this story, it's like, okay, love sees no color. He was down and out. Gap band had it going on. Drug rehab. And then this woman, I thought she was in there for drugs too, but she's really a counselor. And she is
well, a lot of times, a lot of times white women see potential, because that's what happened with, I'm not saying that it was the potential that she saw.
No.
But there was Strawberry.
I'm going to have to share some insight on it.
Daryl Strawberry and his white wife met in drug rehab. But I think that she probably figured, you know, if I can get him out of drug rehab, I can probably make some money off of him, because they had written a book, and they were on one of the religious talk shows. So
His first wife was black, right? Because I remember growing up, because, you know, everybody that he started his career right here at Jackson State. And what was it, Linda, the Jackson General? He played minor league. He played for Jackson State, and then he played minor league. Then he went pro. He played minor league right here. Then he went pro.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the first wife was black. But then
first girlfriend. Well, his girlfriend, I think she had a twin that played basketball or something.
Uh-huh.
And he dumped her as soon as he started making a little money.
Oh. And is Caucasian. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have yet read his book, and I've been wanting to read his book. I had told Adam Rodriguez, who I love to network with, the actor, about his book a couple of years ago, but I have not read that book yet. You read it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, but okay, so she co-wrote, the current wife co-wrote that book with him?
Yeah.
Oh.
I remember about a couple months ago, Jimmy Smith was making a comment on one of my Facebook comments. We was talking about, you know, how negative women can be when it comes to your lifestyle and what you're doing. Jimmy Smith made a comment. He said, he was telling this one dude, y'all just don't, he was just saying in general, y'all just don't know no good black women. Talking about he know plenty of good black women. I said, Jimmy, you gotta look at how much money you make. You're a millionaire. Of course you know some good black women. We ain't going to know any, because we ain't making your money. If we had your money, yeah, we'll know some good black women, too.
You ought to be saying.
Hey, I may be wrong for saying it, but I ain't lying.
Yes, you are.
I ain't got to be doing all that
women.
Mouth, all that attitude, all that. You know, we ask them to do something, they don't want to do it. But yeah, when you got a couple of meals in the bank, they've had that water ran, gonna have that food set out, gonna wash you from head to toe, clip your toenails. Man,
well,
they gonna do everything
I guess so. Because they have money, they don't have to do all the cooking and cleaning up and taking care of the children and putting up with y'all. So if she's got money, she has plenty of leisure time. If there's money involved, she's probably got a couple of nannies and housekeepers, yard men.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yes.
Not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily.
I'm like this. I mean, I bet they even out there cutting the grass, too. I come rolling there in that Bentley and everything. And then she driving her nice ride. She going, no, she ain't going to have no problems. I ain't going to have no problems out of her. She going to be treating me real nice then. But I bet you if I ever file bankruptcy, be hollering about we got involved in some bad investments. We broke, like on Rocky Five when he said he lost all his money. But Adrian stayed with Rocky. Nah, that would have happened with us. it would have been. That would not have been a good night that night.
That is not true. A lot of black women stay with these men.
I'll be facetious. I'll just be facetious.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be one best to get no hate mail.
Yeah, you are going to get
I can hear better now. 40, all that to a roughneck inbox.
Roughneck opinions and views are his own opinions and views.
That's right. They're not the views of the host of this show.
Thank you. So I wrote and also
waiver. Y'all get that waiver file.
So I think I put my foot in my mouth more than enough. They make everybody happy. That's so. I think that's what people like about the show.
People gonna be inboxing you their neck with that neck twitching while they talking. They be inboxing me with their neck working.
I don't know. I think I've seen some of them women of the other race doing the same thing. They want to be just like sisters. But can we move on, Beth? You were asking me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cousin Linda. Mama was talking about that the other day. What were you saying, Linda, Cousin Linda?
Oh, I was just going to say, you had asked me about the movies that I saw this past week.
Yes.
I saw The Campaign, loved it, and saw Sparkle, and I liked it. But The Campaign was
liked
my
it.
Favorite.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because, see, I saw the original Sparkle, and I just don't usually like remakes. That's
okay.
The reason for that. I love the first Sparkle, and I like the music better in the first Sparkle. Curtis Mayfield can do no wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
You're like the first review that I've heard that said that the first Sparkle was the best. I've been surprised by the reviews I've been getting from on the offline friends, plus just from the media. I was surprised because rarely you hear that a remake is better than the original. So you're like the first. I'm telling you, you're like the first one I've heard that think that the original is the favorite. It's the best because I know I love me some Irene Cara.
Well, to me, I'm not saying that it's better. I said, I generally don't like a movie that's been remade. I like the original, and I like the music a whole lot more from the first one than from this one. Maybe a lot of people, are not big Curtis Mayfield fans or something.
I am.
And giving him something that he can feel. Can't nobody sing that but Aretha. I mean, even Mary J. Blige or whoever can't do that.
Yeah, you're right about that. Now, most of the time I'm not a fan of remakes myself, but very rare do I see a remake sound better than the original.
I haven't seen Sparkle in ages, but I remember loving Sparkle, and I loved me some Irene Cara back then. Irene Cara could not do the wrong thing when I was a little girl.
And I like...
I love the young lady now, Jordan Sparks, but Irene Cara, oh my God.
Yeah, Irene Cara and Lynette McKee and Dorian Harewood. I just thought their acting was superb. And the storyline.
Oh, my God. That's what I want to know. How did she do as a first-time actress?
Who?
Jordan Sparks. So she said that she didn't practice.
I thought she did a good job.
Okay.
You know, I think they all performed well, but there was some difference in the movie. You know, they didn't live in the ghetto like in the original.
Oh.
And it was a cocaine thing rather than a heroin thing for Sister. And I don't know, the songs that they sang just didn't move me like the original movie.
Well, I think Whitney Houston's in the movie, I think that kind of overshadowed a lot of the movie was the fact of Whitney Houston being in it. I think that overshadowed a lot of the movie.
Well, how did Whitney do? And how was Whitney's part? Would any awards come from this film?
I didn't see Oscar material, but, Oscars to me are political rather than talent-based.
Yeah, you got that right.
It's how well you're promoted and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Golden Globes and the Spirit Awards, they're pretty much like, okay. Yeah,
they're more fan. Right, they're more fan-friendly on that.
Wow.
I mean, because I still feel Will Smith got screwed on Ali.
Wow.
I mean, that year Denzel Washington won for Training Day, and the only reason why they gave it to him was because Russell Crowe was probably going to get it for A Beautiful Mind until he smashed some guy in the head with a telephone about a couple of months before the Oscars, and that kind of got he caught a lot of flack behind that.
Wow, what were you about to say, Cousin Linda?
Nothing. I was just commenting on the Will Smith thing. I didn't see Ali, so I can't really comment on that. I didn't know Will Smith was that good of an actor. You know, a drama actor.
Well, yeah, he impressed the heck out of me on that one.
But that's a good point you make about Denzel Washington. But wow, he played that part really good. But he played other parts really good before playing that.
I mean, heck, he should have won Best Actor for Malcolm X. You know what I mean? But
you just took the words right out of my mouth, because Malcolm X, when I went to see that 3-hour movie, 4-hour movie, I'm like, I thought I was watching Malcolm X, the man himself. I'm like, man.
If Malcolm X had came out like now, he would have definitely won. Spike Lee would have won on that. But back then, Spike was too pro-black and trying to act like he was blacker than thou and all that. And that took a lot of the luster out of a lot of Spike Lee's movies. He had some nice movies back in the 90s, but you know, but his tone and the way he come across pissed a lot of people off, and nobody didn't want to, you know, be bothered with him. I mean, how you expect to win an Oscar when you're already up there just cutting up the Oscars? They ain't going to give you nothing. They never going to give you nothing, you know? So they're like, okay, fine. We won't give you nothing then.
I've loved
Spike Lee.
Ain't
going to give you nothing because I'm black.
I've loved Spike Lee's work since She's Gotta Have It. I mean, I used to watch that movie at the theater and watch it over and over again on VHS and studied the book where he wrote the script for She's Gotta Have It. But how do y'all feel about his criticism towards Tyler Perry?
Oh, well, you know.
With that.
That's all that is. That's just New York arrogance putting down somebody from the South. That's all it really is. When you just look at the nuts and bolts of it.
But he went to school and lived too.
I hate to see us as a race of people airing our dirty laundry
down each other.
In public
like
that.
I feel you. Yeah, I mean, it was childish. Don't get me wrong. I don't defend Spike Lee on that at all. He could just sometimes it's better if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. And I think in that case,
exactly.
He should have not said nothing.
He made a new comment that I seen right before the show came on, a YouTube video that's new, just came out today about, and he's talking about Tyler Perry. So as soon as I look at it, I'm going to send it to you all and post it. But I'm like, wow, what else does he have to say? Because I love both of them. And it's sad to see one director talk bad about another favorite one.
Yeah, I mean, you have different genres of movies, and you've had black men in drag way back there. Remember how we used to love to watch Flip Wilson do Geraldine?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that was funny. And to me, it wasn't demeaning. And now, I have to say that I was a little prejudiced, I guess, against Tyler Perry before I actually saw a Madea film. Because I didn't think it was funny or what, and hadn't seen anything. But it's just some kind of preconceived notion that I had that, well, this can't be funny and this is demeaning and blah, blah, blah. And I was on a bus going to Birmingham, Alabama with the Blue Bengals, Beth. You know the Blue Bengals in Jackson?
Yeah.
Jackson State, we were going to a game over in Alabama. And some guy always brings these tapes, so I'm told, and they had one of the Madea tapes on there. And I just cracked up. So after that, I started renting the Tyler Perry DVDs, and people would lend them to me. And I really enjoy them now. This last movie he did, Witness Protection, was not as funny to me as it could have been.
Everybody's due for an off performance.
Go ahead.
I kind of like it when Tyler Perry do some different movies that's not all, you know, about Madea all the time. I especially like the fact that it wasn't even done in Atlanta. I mean, he just did it in a whole new setting.
I need to see Good Deeds, but I love Why Did I Get Married? I love that character.
Yeah,
that
I love those movies.
Those and Why Did I Get Married?
And I love The Family That Prays. I think that's his best. I think that's Tyler Perry's best movie to me is Family That Prays.
Now, I'd like to see that, but I haven't seen that DVD at Blockbuster. I'm going to have to try to go find it again.
But I love it anyway when actors get... In his Madea movies, I love how he can ace the different characters, because that's one reason why I love Eddie Murphy in movies. I love him as a stand-up comedian, and I wish he'd hurry up and come back to stand-up. But that's one reason why I loved Eddie Murphy back in the day in the 80s, because he would play those multiple characters.
Hey,
like in
Nutty Professor, I mean, I'm going to always laugh on that.
Yeah,
you always laughing.
Yesterday, they had the thing out about Eddie Murphy had died. Which I was
on
a puzzle.
That was one of those hosts.
I was working a puzzle in the National Enquirer. They have these puzzles where you have to unscramble some letters and come up with a celebrity's name. And this time, you know, it said, name this famous actor. And I had the letters and everything, and I, for some strange reason, my mind went blank, and I could not think of who is Eddie Murphy. And I said, Eddie Murphy. So before I send it off, I'm like, I want to make sure there's an actor named Eddie Murphy. So I come over here to Google and pull it up and said, Eddie Murphy died. And then it had a picture of Eddie Murphy, and I said, oh, no, Eddie Murphy can't be dead. So I started flipping on news channels, and there was no news on TV. And then I went to some news channels, news websites on the Internet, and there was nothing about him. But I went to a whole bunch of stuff like TMZ and all these other things that would pop up. And they were talking about Eddie Murphy had been killed in an accident on a snowmobile or something. And so I called Aunt Mildred and to see if she had heard anything, and I didn't get her. And I called my friend at his office, and he didn't answer. So I went to another website, and it said that it was a big hoax.
You didn't call me. Me out. I was like, what?
Right. Well, you remember earlier this year someone said R. Kelly died in a jet ski accident.
Well, you know what?
And,
they said the same thing about Kristen Slater, the same accident that she just said that he died skiing also about a year ago. The rumor went out that he was out skiing in Colorado and hit a tree.
Right, and then remember the week before Leah died, they said Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears were killed in a car accident.
Yeah,
and then I remember the week after that when they said Leah died in a plane crash. I just kept saying, "Come on now, where do people quit playing these little stupid
Exactly.
Make these little jokes, and then found out the next day that it was actually true. I was really heartbroken then.
But especially on the Internet and on Twitter. And then Harvey Levin and I of TMZ, he and I both, because I love networking with him too, and he and I both was like, no way, not Kristen Slater. And someone who was really with Kristen Slater said, Kristen Slater is not dead. He's right here. We're watching TV or something. I'm like, wow. I don't know how these people
Need to cut that out.
Yeah. You know, there are some websites that, like the Onion, are you familiar with the Onion? You know, there are some
I've
websites.
I've heard of it, yeah.
And they call themselves, what, satire? Satire? There are websites out there that they put out stories, but really it's supposed to be all in fun. But talking about somebody, that's not in fun. But then they actually look like they're real, and then the next thing you know, they're picked up by real media outlets. And then that's how they get free.
Yeah, this was all over Google. Just about every time I put Eddie Murphy's name in Google, a whole bunch of stuff would pop up. Eddie Murphy died. Or Eddie Murphy dead in snowmobile accident.
Yeah, well.
But speaking of R. Kelly, I saw his name in the credits on Sparkle. I think creative music director or something, huh?
I was about to say, was he part of the soundtrack? Or he was what?
I saw his name, music director or something like that. He worked on some, I guess, the music scores or whatever.
Right.
R. Kelly's insane.
I remember when Whitney Houston died. I remember when I called you and told you about it. And you was just like, you just couldn't believe it.
I was watching politics. When I found out about Whitney Houston, I had gone to the restroom. I had been watching one of the debates, it was Iowa caucuses or something was going on. I went to the restroom, bathroom, came out, CNN said Whitney Houston dead, and I was like, "What? Wait a second! What happened to the politics and Whitney dead?" Then that's when
right, because
like,
it got to the point then that like every channel was just that's all they was talking about, and
yeah.
I just kept changing the channel, and every channel was doing the same thing. Whitney Houston
right.
found
that's
dead.
I thought,
I'm like,
thought,
oh god.
Then,
I was like,
then the longest, and then for the longest they didn't say how she died, and then it did. My stories, I kept getting stories that Ray J found her. All my stories were that Ray J found her. That's what I kept.
Right.
Oh, speaking of Ray J. Somebody emailed me him and Kim Kardashian's sex tape the other day.
Oh, well, what's your review on that one?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I checked
that
out myself.
Because I have not
seen
that. I have seen portions of it when she's getting
it from
the
entire thing.
Oh my! I've seen a little advertisement of it when he's hitting it from the back.
Oh
so
no! This was the entire thing.
What's your review?
Well, let's just say Ray J is well endowed, and Kim, she must be queen of the blowjobs.
So she can play a good saxophone.